Thanks for watching this sermon video. I am glad you're joining us today because this sermon, I think, is going to be important. I hope that after you watch this today, you walk away and you feel more free. Like you just have your life opened up, available for God to use. So join with me in prayer for this sermon. Father, I want to pray that you would use my words, the presence, everyone else who's going to be part of this video to communicate your truths and your word effectively. God, I pray that you give me the right words and presence, and that everyone who hears this sermon, Lord, I pray that they would engage their minds. I pray that you'd help them to have minds willing to, and desiring to have the truth, and hearts that are willing and ready to receive what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever been in the mountains? Just free. I don't mean in the mountains like to do a job. I mean like in the mountains, just on a hike. You're just free. You're just walking, enjoying it. For those of you that don't mind walking, you're just walking. You're enjoying nature. You're loving life. You just feel free. You breathe. The air's clean. It's crisp. It's cool. It's not always the case that we feel free, however, right? Like we go to the mountains and we have this different feeling. We feel free, we feel open, we feel relaxed, but that's not the way your lives are. Sometimes your lives feel compressed, busy, overflowing, like crunched up, like there's too much going on. And the last word you would use to describe it is freedom. Why don't you feel free? We're gonna talk about that today. So I love to hang out with my brother, Matt. Him and I love the same things, right? We both like riding four-wheelers. We both like riding jet skis and going on boats and doing, I mean, just the types of things we do. We like to do it. We grew up doing these things, boats, four-wheelers, all that stuff. So we also love jet skis and we also love go-karts. We would go down to Table Rock Lake and we would ride go-karts in Branson every year. And then we'd also go on the lake. We'd try to rent some jet skis and our boat at the same time. And it was fun. So we came up with this genius idea. I am telling you, it's genius! Okay, there's go-kart tracks, and those are awesome. And racing jet skis is awesome. We had this boom, mind-blowing idea. Jet ski versus go-kart. That's right, you make a jet ski track that has water on it that you can ride the jet ski, and then a go-kart track right beside it, and you can race jet skis against go-karts. Yes, we had the best idea ever. We would make millions! A lot of times we joke, oh man, if I won the lottery, I would totally build this. But it doesn't require a lottery win. I mean, technically, I could go build one of those right now, right? Make it a business, round up some investors who care about jet skis and go-karts, and start building it. Why haven't I done this? It's a genius idea, is it not? Don't doubt it. The reason I haven't done this yet isn't because it's not an awesome idea, because it is. Comes down to one word, and one word only, right? This is the important word. I want you to imprint this on your brains. Priorities. The money and time it would take would be too much. I mean, it'd take a lot of time to build the go-kart tracks, to manage the go-kart tracks, and the jet skis, and maintain them, and manage all the employees, and everything like that. I want to spend time with my family more than I want to make a go-kart track. I want to minister to people. My life's goal, right, is to be a pastor. That's the profession and the job and the calling that I've been called to do. Most of all, I want to be available to do whatever God would call me to do. Whether he calls me to Timbuktu or in the town that I'm at. So priorities have determined that I'm not going to start a jet ski versus go-kart track, no matter how awesome it would be. And you have priorities too. You do. You make decisions every single day to prioritize one thing over another. But there's a problem. You want to know what it is? The problem is when you say something's important, but it isn't prioritized like it's important.
If you say your goal is to be more financially responsible, but you're still swiping your credit card all over the place,
then you've prioritized wrongly. I'd like to order flowers, please. If you say your spouse is more important than your hobby, but you spend more time on your hobby, you've prioritized wrongly. If you like the NFL, but you're a fan of the Raiders, you've chosen poorly. Most of you are here watching this video right now because you've chosen to prioritize God, at least for these 30, 40 minutes, right? The unfortunate reality is that our world makes it extremely hard to prioritize God. Can I get an amen on that one? Can I get an amen on that one, right? It is hard to prioritize God in our world. It's easy to say God is my priority. Very difficult to do. There are a million things vying for your attention, aren't there? I mean, think about your life. You got a whole bunch of stuff. And many of these things are actually, whether you know it or not, pulling you away from focusing on Jesus. We want God to be the center of our lives, right? This is what we say. God is the most important thing. He's the center of my life. That's what we want. But the problem is, you've already got bills to pay. You've got family obligations. You've got that credit card bill you forgot about, but not really. You're just not talking about it. You've got great Aunt Martha who wants you to come over. You've got your job, which should really be more important than you're treating it. You've got your health. You really should exercise more. And like, you've got this, and it's just schedules and relationships and news and play and hobbies and work and all these things. And by the time we get to God, okay, God, I can do this, God. I can do this, right? But by the time we get to God, I want you to listen to this verse. It's really important. This is a story about Jesus, some interactions he had with people. You gotta pay attention to the teachings that he gave. We're gonna come back to this verse again and again today. It's our main verse. Now, wrap your head around this. Listen carefully. Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. All right, that's good, right? We wanna do that. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Right? I mean, there was a dozen guys there at least. She came to him and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha, the Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha was busy with all the things that had to get done, right? She was doing the dinner, and she was doing the dishes, and she was getting ready for Jesus, and like her life was just crammed full. Mary, on the other hand, was like, "No, I'm not doing that," right? It's just about Jesus. That's it, Jesus. Very simple, very right. Jesus. Write this down. Are you ready? One of our church's core values is living simply. Yeah, this is where it all starts to come together, where we're taking what we're learning and we're gonna put it together here. Living simply. We say we value uncluttered lives, which free us to love boldly, give generously, and serve joyfully. Here's a confession. Are you ready for it? Pastoral confession. I need to work on this. I know I'm preaching the sermon, but this is still something that God is working on me. Because There is something about living simply in our country at our time that is intensely difficult. Like, we are Marthas, right? We're running around, "I got work to do. Yo, God, why won't you send me more people to help me do all the work?" And he's like, "Look, not all that's needed." We're like, "No, there is stuff to do." Like, I read that story about Martha and Mary, and I'm all like, "Yo, Martha was on. I don't know what Mary was doing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was wasting time." We're all like, do stuff. We fill our lives up to the point where it's actually hard to love Jesus and to love other people. We don't have time. I'm friends with a missionary from Zambia. Now, in Zambia, he was describing how peaceful life was, even though it was also difficult. This peaceful life was made possible because when the sun went down, it was time to relax. It's kind of interesting because they didn't have electricity. And if they walked outside, there were snakes and there were bandits to worry about at night. So you couldn't travel when it was dark. So couldn't travel. You didn't have computers. You didn't have the cell phones. You didn't have the lights. No electricity. So every evening when dusk came, they just sat and stared at the stars and took in God's presence and thought about God himself and the universe. And wow, that's probably not your life, is it? I mean, do you sit down every evening and just soak in God's presence? Stare at the stars and think about your place. No, you've got alarm clocks, jobs, friends, bills, church, and... and it's exhausting. But being exhausted, that's not the problem. Y'all think, you know, if I only had more time in the day, then I could get more done. The problem isn't, I need more arms to carry more. No, no. The problem is, we need to ask this question. What is living simply really about? There's a guy named Frank who went backpacking in the great outdoors, right? The mountains, freedom. Oh, feels good. He was days from civilization. He was running short on supplies. He needed some food and water, so he pulled out a map and realized that there's a safe house located about 10 miles from his position. So he kept hiking, kept walking. It would have taken him a day, maybe two to get there, but it had food and water, so he began walking. And he walked, and he walked. And at first it was going well, but then he found a walking stick. So he picked it up. Because man, what would make this better is if he had a walking stick. Because now it's going to be easier to hike. So he picks it up and he takes it with him. And then as he goes along, he found some rope. I mean, in the mountains, you need some rope. What if there's a cliff or something you had to tie off and climb a tree with? And then he continued to hike. And as he continued to hike, he found some boots. Well, of course he's going to bring the boots with him. He's hiking in the mountains. Then he found a hedge trimmer and clippers, which would be a little ridiculous, but you never know when you're going to encounter some thick brush that you have to get through. And then there was some firewood. And then there was a suitcase. And he opened it up and it was comic books. Now, normally you wouldn't take this with you if you're hiking in the mountains, but these could have been valuable comic books. So he's going to bring this suitcase with comic books with him because they could be valuable. He found a folding chair, which of course you want because you might sit down and take a break. You don't want to sit down on a porcupine or something. So, and then he found a skateboard, which of course would be a wise thing to bring because maybe, just maybe, you find a whole bunch of flat rocks that you need to skate down. It would make the walk go a lot faster. And then he found a thigh master. And at this point, it just seemed like, well, why the heck not, right? I mean, so very, very difficultly, he picked up the thigh master with much skill. He was so weighted down that by 3 p.m., he couldn't even move. The boots, the hedge trimmer, the wood, the suitcase with the valuable comic books, the folding chair, the skateboard, the all-important thigh master, his walking stick. And there he sat from 3 p.m. until the evening, crying about how exhausted he was, how unfair life was, and how he would starve to death. Really, there he was. Sometimes this is us, right? We're sitting down, we're talking about how unfair life is, how burdened we are, how overwhelmed we are with life. But what was going on here? Was Frank overwhelmed with life? Look, friends, the problem is not that Frank is exhausted. I know he is exhausted, but he's exhausted because he's carrying wood and a suitcase and comic books and a skateboard and a thigh master and a walking stick and everything else he could find along the way. He's probably got some small animals tucked inside his shirt and pants. But look, friends, Frank doesn't need more strength. No, Frank doesn't need more strength at all. He doesn't need to stop being exhausted. What Frank needs to do is let go of some stuff. Let me say this again. Frank needs to let go of some stuff. Got it? Frank needs to let go. Living simply is, in a sense, prioritizing. I don't need the Thigh Master. I really don't. I can get by without the suitcase full of comic books. I don't know what it is in your life, but Frank needs to make some choices. Let's write this down. Living simply includes focusing our lives on what is important by making room for that. It will necessitate cutting out many less important things. I want you to circle that phrase, making room, okay? Focusing our lives on what's important and making room for that. It's not just saying, okay, I'm still gonna do 500 million things. I still have 1,000 trillion things every day. I'm just gonna prioritize them rightly. Like, prioritizing sometimes includes cutting something out, stabbing it, and getting rid of it. It's not enough to say, God, I want to serve you. No, You have to make room for God and other people in your life. It's not enough to say, you know what? I care about other people. I want to help other people. I want to serve God. I want to do great things. I want to serve other people. It's not enough to say it, because if you don't prioritize and move other things out of your life so that you can actually focus on God and other people, you're not gonna do it. Look at our core value, part one. Living simply starts with this. We value uncluttered lives. Uncluttered lives. That means there's clutter in your life. If there's a little bit of clutter in your life or a lot of clutter in your life, just say, amen. We value uncluttered lives. We're gonna have to move some stuff out. Why? Because something profound changes when we unclutter our lives. When we get all this stuff out of our way, something actually changes. We say, what was it? Having an uncluttered life frees us to love boldly. That's what we say. Why? Well, think back to the story of Martha and Mary. They both loved Jesus. They both loved him, but Martha was running around trying to get all the work done and focus on everything else. And Mary, what did she do? She just sat at the feet of Jesus. She knew what was important. When I hear that story, I don't know about you, but my natural inclination is to go, Martha, you the woman. You were getting something done when everyone else was just sitting around doing nothing. But what did Jesus say? Luke 10:42, Jesus says this, Mary has chosen what is better. And our American minds have been blown. What is going on here? Look, Mary was loving Jesus. She put aside all the preparations, all the craziness. Now, it doesn't say that Mary was lazy. No. The Bible is clear. Laziness is a sin. Mary wasn't lazy. Mary prioritized loving Jesus. Instead of worrying about all the dinner, all the dishes, and everything that had to get done, Mary was interested in worshiping and listening to Jesus. Martha, on the other hand, prioritized dinner and dishes and the work. In fact, Martha was a lot like Frank, wasn't she? Frank was worried about the skateboard and the comic books and the thigh master. Martha was worried about the cups and the dishes instead of Jesus. Jesus says, simplify. Listen to him in Luke 10 again. In fact, it says this, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. You only need one thing. So Jesus is talking to us, isn't he? He says, you're worried, you're upset about many things, right? This is actually what he says, and you're like, preach it, Jesus. My life, I got so much going on. I'm worried about this. I'm upset about this. I got problems here. And we're like, yeah. And he goes on, he says, look, only a few things are needed. And we're like, yeah, that's good. And then it's funny because he revises it, right? Only a few things are needed. No. Only one thing is needed. He's talking about himself. We need Jesus. That's it. We don't need Jesus plus cable TV. We don't need Jesus plus a good career. We don't need Jesus plus a wonderful family. Like, we just need Jesus. How often have we cluttered our lives, grabbed everything we could because we wanted Jesus? And we don't need Jesus and cable, Jesus and a career, Jesus and... We don't need Jesus and... There's a CEO of a large company. He loved a woman immensely, decided to ask for her hand in marriage. Now, the CEO had left for an international conference, right? In his $2,500 suit, he prepared PowerPoint charts for the investors. He did a conference call with the startup company. He asked the secretary to drop off a $20,000 engagement ring on the woman's doorstep. Later that night, as he sat in a board meeting, 3,000 miles away, he debated whether or not he should split their stock. And on the side, he slipped his hand out and texted the woman, will you marry me? And she texted back, no. He realized the error of his way, immediately left the board meeting, got on a plane back to his own town, and over the next few months, he sold his companies, handed duties over to a manager to handle, he quit some of the startups, he took a job that allowed him to see the love of his life every single day. He lost a lot of money, but on one of his free evenings, he cooked a dinner. Her favorite dinner. And he cooked it, not by ordering food, but with his own hands. He spilled some on his cheap button-up Walmart shirt. They laughed about it as she teased him. And during dinner, he got down on one knee and proposed with a $200 ring. She got on her knees, hugged him, and with tears said, "Yes." Write this down. Write it down. When we make the decision to live simply, we then have the freedom to love deeply instead of being distracted. When we make that decision to live simply, you can now love, right? We are free to love Jesus instead of being distracted by the board meetings and the investments and everything else. And we are free to love each other instead of being distracted by whatever it is in your life. Those distractions stop us from loving, but when we free up, we can love deeply. The second thing living simply does is this. Living simply frees us to give generously. Now, this is important. We want to be generous people, but if we're not living simply, we can't be as generous as we want to. Proverbs 11:25 from Scripture says this, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." I want to be refreshed. You want to be refreshed. If we're generous people, we will be. There was a family in our church. They were struggling. They're having a hard time, right? There was addiction. There were marriage problems. Now they're having financial problems. They needed $100, just $100. They couldn't even get it. They honestly, I love them. They were depressed. They almost skipped church one morning, but decided to go. They almost skipped because they're so depressed. Things were down and out. But when they're at church, a bunch of guys surrounded this one guy who was struggling with lots of things, money included. As they prayed, as they surrounded him and put their hands on him and prayed for him, another guy walked up and handed him an envelope. And inside this envelope, I bet you know what was in there. $100. Who gave them $100? It wasn't someone who's in debt up to their eyeballs. Probably wasn't someone who wanted the new cell phone, bigger cable bill, larger TV. It was probably someone who made a decision to hold some money back instead of buying cool things. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had the money. Write this down. When we make the decision to live simply, especially financially, we have the resources to give generously. That is when we have the resources to give generously. Years ago, my wife and I made a conscious decision to live simpler financially. We got rid of cable TV, and it wasn't always this way, but we got rid of cable TV. Our TV, for a long time, was one of those big boxes that you had to shove your finger in and turn it on, and it was broken, so you had to shove your finger in and find the switch on the inside and push it. And we kept Netflix, but we got rid of our credit cards. We dumped our car payments and more. It just kept going and going. Anything that was like a financial obligation, we got rid of it. You know what's funny? We thought we were poor until we cut our cable. We got rid of our credit cards. And then we realized, wow, we are freed up. We are free and we can give when we want to give now. It is an amazing feeling to cut up your credit card, to not have a car payment, to get rid of these obligations, even the cable bill that comes every single month. And you just go, you know what? I don't even have an obligation to pay that. I can do what I want with my money. I can be generous today. The third thing living simply does is this. Living simply frees us to serve joyfully. You remember Luke 10, verse 40? It's talking about Martha, the workaholic. It says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And I'm sure there were a lot of important preparations. Jesus was coming to her house, lots to do. But the key word there is distracted. Imagine you're juggling all this stuff and then, hey, glad you're here today. Have you ever thought about serving in the church coffee bar? You know, helps people feel welcome at the church, and then when they hear God's word.
You know, a maybe, but I'll get back at you about that.
Okay? Oh, okay. You know, Martha wasn't able to serve joyfully because serving was just an additional burden in her life. You ever feel distracted like Martha? Maybe you want to serve God. You want to help other people. You want to do greater things in your life because you know God wants you to, but you're already tired. You're already doing too much. Let's write this down. This is important. When we make the decision to live simply, We have the time and energy to serve God and others with joy. Let's write that down and circle the with joy part. Way back in 2007, one of our church members here, Denise Conway, attended a global missions conference. It was held at Revolution. It was through our denomination, the Brethren in Christ, and it was all about missions, about serving Jesus in other countries or in other contexts where people may not know God and Jesus yet. While there, she felt God calling her into doing missions work. It was kind of surprising. I mean, she was born and raised in Kansas. She was relatively new to Christianity. She had just been saved. But what could she do? I mean, God was saying, go to the Navajo Mission in New Mexico and serve. So she went to the Navajo Mission. She just left and went. I asked her, I talked to her and said, what types of long-term contracts or things did you have to give up before you left? She said, I didn't have any long-term contracts, no cable contract, no anything like that, no loans. The hardest thing was to leave the church and the relationships there. Why could she go when God called her? Because she wasn't encumbered with an overloaded schedule, a million commitments, not too many bills, not all the hiking equipment in the world. She didn't have to take a Thighmaster with her. Maybe she did, but you get the point, right? Look, even last Christmas, her and her daughter decided to forego Christmas presents for each other. They just simplified, and they used their money to give it to others. You know, if they had even had a TV contract, it would have cost them hundreds of dollars more to obey God. We got to cancel this contract because we felt like God told us to give our money out here. So now we got to pay the cancellation fee and we don't have the money left. If someone needs help, have you decided to simplify your schedule enough so that you can go? If God calls you on a mission trip, if God calls you to give up an evening to go be with someone, if God, maybe not as a missionary, maybe just to help your neighbor move. I want to give you 6 reasons why our lives might not be simple before we go. Which of these 6 apply to you? Which one, which two, which 6 apply to you? Ask yourself as you go through these, all right? So write it down. 6 reasons our lives may not be simple. Number 1, the deceitfulness of wealth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus is talking. He says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, okay, that's the word of God, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, Jesus is saying, when we focus on pursuing wealth, we lose the ability to live simply. We focus on our bottom line, whatever that might be. Like, wealth isn't evil, okay? Money isn't evil, but it is deceitful. You can think it's benefiting you when it's actually harming you. That's an important distinction. You can think this money is benefiting you, but it's actually harming you because now your life isn't as simple as it was before. You cannot just wildly, abandonedly pursue God and love others. Number 2, busyness. Duh, that can complicate our lives. Number 3, write it down, bills and entertainment. Yeah, this is true. We have filled our lives up with entertainment so much so that we feel busy even when we're not. If you're going to the movies, if you're going to hanging out at parties, if you're playing on the computer for an hour every night, if you're watching TV for an hour every night, sometimes people watch for 2 or 3 hours. Are you kidding me? We feel like, oh, if I only had an extra 2 hours in the day. But you know what? Stop wasting it with TV. Number 4, taking care of our stuff. Takes a lot of time. Sometimes getting rid of our stuff is the only option. A lot of what you own takes maintenance. It fills up your life. It clutters it, right? You've got that cool motorcycle, but you spend a lot of time tinkering on it. Your life's not very simple anymore. You got that awesome TV, but it takes forever to work on it. You got whatever it is. Number 5, addictions, drugs and alcohol, but also Facebook, gaming, and etc. too. And that's right, I said it, Facebook complicates your life. My kids love to wrestle. In fact, my boy JJ comes to me and goes, Dad, let's W. And he means wrestle. So a lot of times when I go home, I get down on the floor, I start wrestling with them, they jump on top of me, they put me in a headlock, they twist my neck around, I try to trap them, and one time I was wrestling with them and I was showing them different moves and they started piling on top of me, and then all of a sudden, I'm sticking my hand out of the pile and I'm holding my phone looking at Facebook. That's right, I was wrestling with my kids, and I was literally checking Facebook on my phone while wrestling with my children whom I love. I don't love Facebook. My priorities were wrong. I went and uninstalled Facebook off my phone because that was wrong. It was evil. It was a way to complicate my life when I should have been with my family and with my kids. Instead, I'm going, okay, I'm wrestling with my kids. I'm spending time with my kids, but I'm really just checking Facebook. It's just another thing to mess with my life and distract me from what is priority. Here's another one. Write it down. Number 6, technology itself and the fact that it helps circumvent periods of rest. Staying up with the lights, TV, cell phones, computers, or the nightlife in general. You know, it used to be the case that when the sun went down, things calmed down. You got rest and peace. You recharged so that you could serve and give the next day. Think about that. There weren't street lights. There wasn't electricity. There weren't batteries. You couldn't just stay up all night long because you couldn't see. Now our computers, our lights, our phones, our TVs, our streetlights, our cars, everything can keep us up until late. And it's a really easy way to complicate your life. You just throw off the natural balance of rest that God intended. Think about this. God invented the universe and he made the world with a day and a night, a period of rest. We have lots of opportunities in life. Like my jet ski versus go-kart track. I mean, this is a great opportunity, but is that what I really want out of life? Let me ask you a question. What do you really want out of life? Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is more important than anything else. You need to make room for Jesus.